Today we're going to talk about what happens after an affair, the three stages of recovery, specifically for people that are trying to reconcile and save the marriage. So this will help you understand a predictable path toward healing. So this is the reality. 25%, one study said, of marriages will experience infidelity of one severity or another. And recovery across all of these examples follows a pretty predictable pattern. And I'm going to share this with you, not because it will make it suddenly super easy. It's not going to be as easy as just applying these steps tomorrow and everything will be solved, but it's to give you the ability to understand where you're at currently, what's coming up next, and sometimes trying to do step two before step one actually makes step one harder. So just understanding where you're at will be helpful. So this is the framework. There are three stages. Stage one, you can call crisis management. You're just trying to survive the initial impact. Stage two is about rebuilding your foundation and deciding what comes next. Stage three is about long-term maintenance and strengthening what you've built together. So let's talk about the first step, crisis management. And each person in this stage has very different roles. For the betrayed partner, you're going to be suffering most likely with repeated intrusive thoughts, unstable emotional regulation, and alternating between numb, not wanting to think about it, not wanting to do anything, and then being very reactive. But you're going to be alternating between those two worlds. Your job is to speak your pain clearly and honestly. This means not underplaying it. This means not overplaying it. This means when you feel like you hate them and you want them to die and you want this to all be over, you are able to articulate that to someone. It doesn't have to always be to them, especially if you're feeling that super frequently. So if you've said you wanted to work on the relationship, you're trying to reconcile, and you're feeling those things all the time, obviously it's kind of counterintuitive to tell that person over and over again that you wish they were dead. But if that is what you're genuinely feeling, A, you should maybe consider, why am I working toward reconciliation? This is for people who have already made the decision that this is what they want. If that's where you're at, you have all that pain, you have all that anger toward them, you need to be honest with that anger with someone. And so having a professional that you can work with, or having just friends, or having a journal, or however you want to process it, you need to be speaking your pain clearly and honestly. For the unfaithful partner, the biggest thing you need to do is take full ownership. It is true that there often were other things that happened in the relationship that led to the frustration, that led to you making a horrible decision. We all get that, okay? But you need to take full ownership if the relationship has a chance to heal. You need to be transparent and consistent. Being transparent and honest once does not equal trust. That does not equal things being fixed. It needs to be a consistent transparency. And answering questions repeatedly is so important. If you think that the betrayed partner is in a super sane state of mind where they're going to remember every detail that you've given, every answer you've given, or if they feel like they can believe you the first time you say something, you're being delusional. You're going to need to play the role of rebuilding through repetition. So your job is to prove through actions, not just words. And one of those actions is being consistent with your words. So that's the first stage. As that happens, typically a lot of the emotion can be tampered. Some key distinctions here. Forgiveness is internal. So that's letting go of what's eating you up. Trust is external. That's earned through consistent behavior. You can forgive without trusting, and you can rebuild trust without rushing forgiveness. Because most likely, one of those will be ahead of the other, but people tend to blur the two. Some people are actually very quick to forgive, but it takes longer to trust. Other people say, like, you know what? I actually do believe that this was a one-time, really stupid decision. I do trust you, but it's going to take a while for me to forgive. And recognizing the difference is important. Some of the essential work to do here. The two of you need to examine the relationship patterns that led you to this point. This is where you get deeper. So on the previous slide, I said that you need to take full accountability as the unfaithful partner. This is where you are once you've built consistent trust. This is the stage, eventually, where you can say, can we talk about like how we got into this mess in the first place? This is the time where both partners need to be willing to do that. This is where you could address years of disconnection, build new communication tools. And the biggest thing that I would say about this is that you are rebuilding, but you're not going back. There is no going back. And that relationship that you had before with the person is, in a lot of ways, what led to the infidelity. So you wouldn't want to go back to that. You're either going to build something better or don't even bother trying. For a lot of people, it's helpful to think of it as a new partner. Like, if I had met this person out in a work context or just a life context, I was introduced through a friend, I found them on a dating website, how would I go about building that relationship with them? That is where you can start doing this in stage two, not stage one, because the context, the history is real. That has to be talked through. That has to be processed. But there comes a point where you have to say, oh, I'm just going to treat you like a brand new person. We're building a new relationship now. And then the third stage is long-term maintenance. And so I want to think about this in terms of the relationship and the individual. For the relationship, as it keeps going, there need to be clear boundaries. And so things, if there are requirements related to transparency, honesty, access to devices, things like that, that has to be defined very clearly. You need to build connection rituals. And so this is basically continuing to date someone, you need to build connection rituals. So whatever it is that you are finding is bringing you closer, build rituals around that, protect it, make it something that you are sure that you're doing regularly, and then rebuild intimacy safely. So when it comes to having sex, so this is something that sometimes people rush into as if nothing is unusual. But for a lot of people, there is a lot of insecurity and trauma related to that. And so be very clear about what you need to feel safe. And then if you're the unfaithful partner, ask proactively, like, how can I make this comfortable for you? Treat it as if you are in a new relationship to an extent as well. You wouldn't rush into sex with that person necessarily. You would view it in a lot more of an exploratory way of how will I be in bed with this person in particular. For on the individual side, you need to learn how to trust yourself again. I've talked a lot about that. You need to understand what healthy love really is. So even as you are trying to reconcile with this individual person, you need to recognize the ways in which their love was toxic in the past and call them out for it if it starts to happen again. And need to become more discerning, because no matter what, I am a lot more on the pro-reconciliation side than a lot of people that you'll probably run across online. I also completely understand if someone wants to just say, you know what, they cheated once, it's over. But even if you are open to reconciliation, you can't be naive about it. You can't be stupid about it. There's a decent chance that will happen. You need to learn to be discerning so that if the same or similar yellow or red flags start to pop up, you can't do the same minimization doubting yourself game. You have to trust yourself at that point and get out while you still can. So some key lessons here. The three stages again: crisis management, surviving the impact, rebuilding the foundation, deciding what comes next, long-term maintenance, strengthening what you've built. And some final thoughts here. Give yourself permission to be where you are. If you're in stage one, let yourself be in stage one. If you're in stage two, let yourself be in stage two. And then whether together or apart, you will survive this. I think one of the biggest problems people have is that they don't have a plan for both options. They say, I'm going to try to make this work because I can't dare to think about the possibility of it not. That's not a healthy place to begin from. You need to actually be completely fine with either option, because both of them will suck in their different ways. So be okay with both of them, and it will give you a lot of strength for either one. And remember that you can emerge wiser and stronger. This is not something that happens automatically or by default, but it can happen. I've seen it so many times. It's a beautiful thing. Both the relationship together, or if it's just you, like, you can emerge wiser and stronger. So if you commit to your own personal growth on this journey, that will set you up for success. And remember that it's not weak to ask for help. This is what I do. This is what I specialize in. If you ever want to talk, there is a link somewhere on this video or near this video where you can schedule a time. It's completely free just to chat. I'll give some advice or pointers. I'll talk about what it's like to work with me on a more long-term basis. But it is not weak to ask for help. And if you decide with me or someone else that I'm not a fit or they're not a fit, it's not rude to say no. Evaluate your resources. We are not lone wolves in this world. We are meant to rely on each other. And so take advantage of the resources available to you, and you've got this.